The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes, but this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning, everyone. Today we celebrate the last day of the liturgical year, so this is the end of the year for the church's cycle of readings, and it's hard to believe that next Sunday we start the approach to Christmas, the first Sunday of Advent. And the Feast of Christ the King came about in a time period when there were lots of kings and kingdoms all over the earth. And it was a reminder to all, even to the kings themselves, that even if they are a king, that they are subject to the one true king who is king over all. And so the proper title for today's solemnity is Christ the King of the universe. He is King of all of creation. As I look at this gospel reading, I'm reminded of a Christian legend that I love the story of. I have no idea whether the legend is true or based in fact, but it's a legend that has been handed down, and it's a beautiful story of a criminal named Dismas. He was born into a family where his father was the leader of a band of brigands that used to rob people on the road. And the legend says that the Holy Family, right after Jesus' birth, was on their road to Egypt to escape from Herod. And along the road, they encountered this band of brigands. And Dismas, who was only a little boy at the time, when the father had captured the Holy Family along with the other people that they were traveling with, this little boy, fell in love with the child, Jesus, the baby, the infant. And his father was moved by his son's compassion and feelings towards the little baby, and so let the Holy Family pass by unhindered. And they never met each other again until that fateful day when Jesus was crucified and little Dismas had grown up. He was a few years older than Jesus was crucified with him. And he is, in the legend, the good thief who asks for Jesus' mercy. You know, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The other thing is the beautiful word of paradise, what the word paradise really means. Paradise was a garden that belonged to the king or the emperor, in which no one was allowed to enter the garden without accompanying with the king himself. And so Jesus used that beautiful word, paradise. Today you will be with me in my private garden in his kingdom. As we celebrate today the solemnity of Christ the King, it's an opportunity for us maybe to reflect on the kingship, the kind of king that Jesus is, and maybe to compare or contrast Jesus to some of our earthly kings. Every king has their own throne. the chair that they sit on, that's a symbol of their power and authority. And from the king's throne, the king administers justice to his kingdom. He conducts diplomatic negotiations. He receives people's petitions and even issues commands. The existence of a throne reminds a king's subjects that the king is not just another citizen, but that he sits as ruler over the people and the land. The throne reminds us that the king has been given the task also of guiding and directing his nation or his kingdom, maybe much in the way that a ship's captain guides or directs his ship. The throne is the symbol of royal identity. The type of throne that a particular king possesses perhaps reflects the type of kingship he strives to live out, whether benevolent or violent, aloof or compassionate. The other day, I saw an episode of The Simpsons, and I saw Mr. Burns has a throne, and it was constructed completely of skulls, right? And he sat as a dictator over Springfield. Our King, Jesus Christ, the eternal King of all life, King of the universe, has a throne that is absolutely unique and one of a kind. No other king in all of human history has chosen such a throne. What is Jesus' throne? We all know it. It presides over every Catholic church and in every Catholic household. It is the sign by which we are welcomed into God's family and made citizens of the everlasting kingdom. It has been the mark of every Christian since the age of the catacombs. Christ's throne is his cross. This throne is different from every other throne in three very distinct ways. The first amazing characteristic of Christ's throne, his cross, is that it is a sign of suffering and sacrifice. Instead of being a throne that a king sits on in a position of power, our king's throne is one that Jesus lies down on and is nailed in this position of sacrifice. Some would define power as the ability to do work or to do something. Jesus is in this position of submission to the Father's will for our good. He is sacrificing himself for our good. Some kings seek pleasure and a leisurely way of life, requiring their subjects to work hard and to suffer so that the king himself can enjoy great wealth and power. Our King Jesus is not like that. He is not asserting himself. He's not lording it over his subjects, but rather he is giving himself to us, sacrificing himself on his throne for our sake and for our good. As we read in John 15:13, Jesus says, "No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends." If we contrast this with any other famous throne throughout human history, we see that it is very different among earthly kings. For example, one of the greatest kings from Europe, the Emperor Charlemagne, you can still visit his throne in the German city of Aachen. It's a fairly simple marble throne, but it's positioned on the last of seven massive marble stairs. When somebody approached the throne of Charlemagne, their head, as they would be standing, would only come up to the bottom of his feet. Earthly kings tend to lord their power and authority over their subjects, but Jesus sees his kingship as loving service toward others. When it comes to ourselves and our call to follow Jesus, to be good stewards, we are all called to carry our cross and to make a sacrifice for our love of God and for our love for our neighbor, to will their good. That sacrifice can take many forms. But a sacrifice means that it was difficult to give it, not something that we do easily or automatic. Jesus' throne of the cross reminds us to seek first and foremost in life, not to lord what we have over others, but rather to put our lives at the sacrificial service, the good of our neighbor. The second shocking characteristic of our King's throne is the material from which it was made of. The cross is made of rough, plain wood. Compare that, for example, with the famous earthly kings and their thrones. For example, maybe you have heard of the famous peacock throne of India's Mughal Empire. This, too, is one of the world's most famous thrones, though it was captured and eventually dismantled in the 1700s. The peacock throne was ascended by steps that were made of pure silver. It stood on four solid gold feet, was surrounded by a golden canopy. The actual seat was adorned with an abundance of the softest of pillows covered in velvet and silk. Behind the seat was a rich screen decorated by representations of open peacock's tails. There were gilded with gold, enameled, inset with diamonds, rubies, and pearls, emeralds, and every other kind of precious stone. When you approached the emperor who sat on that throne, you saw his wealth and treasure. How rich he was on public display. The Mughal Empire is now gone. Most of you probably have never even heard of it. And the peacock throne has been dismantled and disappeared. But the plain rough wood of Jesus' cross, his throne, remains in every Catholic church and every Catholic home. And when we approach this king on his throne, our eyes are opened. Instead of being blinded by the avarice, we see rather his simplicity and his humility. We see before us the true beauty of God's love. And when we approach this king on his throne, we are not tempted by love for riches, but rather by the Lord's patience, forgiveness, the Lord's courage, and his humility. When it comes to our stewardship, we are called to remember that our tithing, how we make proper use of our treasures are not meant for us to lord it over others, to show it off, but rather to share our gifts for the good of others in the building of God's kingdom. How much are we called to give of our treasure as a tithe? Biblical tithe speaks of 10%, but truly each person must decide after prayer what we are called to give. Some may choose and have the ability to give more. Others may need to slowly work up and to reach a goal of that 10%. The stewardship of our treasure shows that we love God more than the things of our world. The plan of stewardship or tithing for everyone is the same. We're called to be planned givers, designating from our budget rather than it being an afterthought. We're called to be priority givers, giving to God first. We're called to be percentage givers rather than a simple dollar amount. We're called to be progressive givers. When it comes to stewardship and giving of our tithe, I would caution, don't give because you liked Father Steve or you liked his homily. But I would also caution, don't hold back a gift because you don't like Father Steve or you didn't like his homily. But rather, give for no other reason than to honor God. When it comes to our giving, our tithing, we do that in the middle of the Mass because it is actually an act of worship. It doesn't have to cost us everything, as it did Jesus' offering of himself on the cross, but it should cost us something. Our tithe is a sacrificial gift. We work hard for our money through sweat, toil, and sometimes tears. We, the priest, during the Mass, we pray that this sacrifice, your sacrifice and mine, will be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Our sacrifice is in the tithe. It's our time and talent, and it's in all we do because of our great love for God. The third unique characteristic of Jesus' throne is that it is so approachable. The scriptures tell us that when Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple, separating all but the high priest from the Holy of Holies, was split down the middle from top to bottom. Jesus has removed all barriers to his sacred and divine heart, and he wants to draw all humanity to himself. Everyone can draw close to Jesus if he or she chooses. Christ's throne reigns in each of our hearts. Jesus is as approachable to us as to a brother. He himself says that those who keep God's commands are brother, sister, and even mother to me. Every Catholic home should have his throne, the cross, in our homes, but most especially in our own hearts. Contrast this approachable throne of Jesus with the most famous human throne of all time, which is the dragon throne of the ancient emperors of China. What made this throne so impressive was precisely its location and its isolation. It was located at the very center of what was called the Forbidden City, which was completely off limits to anyone except the most illustrious and powerful subjects of the emperor. Some of those subjects were kings themselves, kings who had to pay tribute to the emperor. And when these vassal kings came for an audience with the emperor, they had to be escorted through a dizzy maze of gateways, bridges, doorways, hallways, in order to come finally before the dragon throne. And once they arrived, before they were allowed to say a word, they had to kneel and press their forehead to the floor 3 times, then kneel and do the same again, and then a 3rd time. Only then, after this long, intimidating, humiliating ceremonial, was that person permitted to say a single word to the emperor. Everything about the dragon throne and its rituals was designed to emphasize the vast distance between the emperor and even his most distinguished subjects. But today the dragon throne is empty and its empire is gone. And our king, who longed to be close even to the humblest, poorest, most miserable of persons, enthroned himself upon a wooden cross, still reigns in our homes and in our hearts. And from that cross today, instead of distancing himself from his people, Jesus draws ever closer to us and presents himself to us in the Eucharist, in the breaking of the bread, and invites us to partake of his real presence, bringing into our bodies his body, blood, soul, and divinity. The way in which we live out our stewardship, our following of Jesus as his disciples, should reflect this openness towards others. We must open up ourselves rather than shut ourselves off from the life and ministries of the church. There are many ministries here at St. Thomas the Apostle that are in need of your time and talent. It's easy for people to support someone from afar, but to enter into one's life and work, this is the true definition of what compassion means, to enter into the suffering, hard work, and toil of others. And Jesus is perhaps the best example of compassion, as he doesn't stay far away from this world, but rather the Word was made flesh and dwelt with us. Our stewardship should include not only the gift of our tithing, but also of our time and talent. Each of us is given charisms, gifts that God gives us and calls us to share with others. These are different from our talents and skills, these charisms. People come to us to receive these gifts, which are really indeed gifts from God. We'd invite you to consider what charisms God may have given you and how God may be calling you to open up and make yourself available to others. So in conclusion, Jesus' throne of the cross reminds us to be sacrificial givers, sometimes giving in a way that even costs us something, to be sacrificial. Jesus' throne of wood, as opposed to other earthly kings, that of precious materials, reminds me not to be seduced by the riches of the world, but rather to put those riches to good use in serving God's kingdom and our neighbors. And Jesus, on his throne of the cross, makes himself approachable to all. And I have to ask myself, am I giving to others in loving service and imitation of the Lord, or am I far off, not willing to get involved? From my heart, as pastor to all of you here at St. Thomas the Apostle, I want to offer my thanks for all of you who have been involved in this parish, being good stewards of your time, talent, and treasure, and making our community what it is. Without you, we have no community. Thank you, and God bless you all.